Good morning, everybody. Welcome to, good to see you all at St. Christopher's. Right, so I'm going to be preaching on the sermon, on the readings that we've just had. And I'm going to be covering a little bit more of the Luke 8. I'm going to be looking at like 22, 27, calming of the storm, as well as like a little bit later on in 49, 55. So I'll start. The unwavering commitment of the characters we are introduced to, and I'm referring to those out of Luke 8 there, but I'm going to be referring to Mary and Joanna in particular, specifically. Help from those several, but on this occasion, help comes from those several women who have lived by independent means. The women now have a position which brings them close to Jesus and enables them to hold dear his promise of God's kingdom on earth. They are loyal to the cause, witnessing, and in Mary Magdalene's case, having had demons driven out of her, freeing her from the tyranny of abuse. Today, would their voices be heard? Or would they just be pushed to the margins and sent and seen as dissidents, troublemakers, extremists? Today, the toxic nature of our society is likely to have pushed trailblazers off the radar. The radical thinkers, doers, activists, given social media, would have had their characters polarized, slated. Joanna. Sorry about this. Joanna. The wife of Chusa, the one whose husband is an employee of Herod. Chusa would be totally slated for not having stood up to his wife and prevented her from helping these usurpers. Social media would hold discussions in seedy chat rooms, bullying Chusa for not keeping his wife under the thumb and subservient to him and his will. Obeying and trusting in the will of God would no longer be a thought. Chusa would be demonized by his peers as being less of a man. Toxic masculinity would dominate and dictate the way he ought to act. If the Andrew Tates of our world had their way, Joanna would be a statistic of domestic violence, an honor killing. In the extreme case, her death would not even be recorded as murder. In the case of Mary, even today, the general opinion is that she was immoral, a woman of ill repute, a prostitute. Why do people regard her in this light? Because Pope Gregory, writing in the 5th century, commented that she must be because the demons had possessed her. So she would have led her to the brink of society, thus a life of immorality. Despite this myth having been dispelled since 1969, it has been entrenched in our psyche, ingrained as a truth. The Renaissance artist in Europe painted her in red and green, and the myth took shape, the scarlet woman, the harlot. The green was her penitence. This conspiracy theory had no substance, no truth. It is a poor reflection of our society because it has been so easily believed despite it having no credible evidence. Convincing us of its truth, society is so shallow. Why? Because faith and hope are no longer relied upon. If the three referred to, including Susanna, who we know very little of, were living in our times, their images would be splashed all over the media. The media coverage of them might even overshadow Jesus, the word, would be ignored. And the narrative would be akin to a group of activists entered the town of Bethany, criticizing our way of life, telling our leaders and legal experts that they are oppressing our nation and that of our generation, and that our generation is lost. When Jesus was invited to eat at the home of the Pharisee, Simon, and the sinful woman washes his feet with expensive perfume, her tears and hair, the media would run with the narrative, claiming that the sinful woman was Mary, who travels with him. This narrative nearly became exclusive until scholars started reading the text at the face value and without applying bias interpretation. Inaccuracies stick, despite the contrary, being evident once the seed of a lie has been sown. Satan takes it and runs with it. All manner of truth has difficulty dispelling the lie. Satan will reiterate the lie at every turn because he wants to create a divide. Nations divided often fall, and it is Satan's desire to see God's people fall. This is the only desire. This is his only desire. Remember how he tried to work on Job, constantly putting him to the test. Satan stripped Job of his way of life, left him to be ridiculed and criticized by his peers. But unfathomable belief and trust in God kept him afloat. Chapter 8 alludes and refers us to the magnitude of God's power. Jesus and the 12 are in the boat, and the storm rages. Jesus rebukes the wind and the water. The storm subsides. He asks his disciples, "Where is your faith?" In fear and amazement, they ask one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the waters, and they obey him." On his tours, Jesus encounters events and circumstances which find him having to reveal to those who are close exactly who he is and his purpose. As Christians, we hold the tenet totally, unequivocally, that Jesus is the Son of God. This is our belief. Luke 8 gives clarity to the purpose, the desire, the need to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. This realm can be experienced by all who submit to the will of God and repent. John the Baptist preached, "Repent, repent, for the forgiveness of sins," before baptism, and Jesus has reiterated that repentance is the way forward, and just believing in who Jesus is. Jesus, at this stage in his ministry, had only been preaching in synagogues, trying to get his message across. It was working because Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, falls at Jesus' feet in the street to plead for the life of his only daughter. Jesus felt compelled to help. Jesus is aware of the gossip, that gossip is dangerous. And so when he arrives at Jairus, he does not raise up the child in front of a massive audience, because he knew that events can be misconstrued, fantasized, or falsely reported. He only allows into the room Peter, John, James, and the parents. Jesus orders the parents not to tell anyone. Gossip is wicked and can escalate into falsehoods. As with today's society, we must possess a heightened awareness that everything we hear and now even see with the increased usage of AI is not all that it might appear to be. We must pray for discerning confidence and nature so as we are clear in our assessment of situation, events, and circumstances. At the beginning of the chapter 8, we were introduced to the women followers. Three were named as trailblazers who would have appeared unconventional during their time, a period in which women had very little agency or power. Women relied on the men in their lives for stability. Our trailblazers were independent, unapologetic, self-sufficient self-sufficient to followers of Jesus, supporting him financially on his tour around the provinces. Jesus is also depicted as unconventional in that he is inclusively unwavering. On who is welcome in his circle, he is demonstrating his authority in healing the sick and offering forgiveness in return for penitence. He feels compassion for the people he meets. Matthew 9:36-36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. As far as Jesus is concerned, everyone has legitimacy to be counted, credited, and worthy to follow without discrimination. They would be worthy adversaries to the truth because they would have witnessed for themselves the miraculous legacy of Jesus. Our women are also credited with being at the crucifixion and the empty tomb. Such privilege is graced on them for their tireless service to spread the word. In contrast, the 12, who are close to companion of Jesus, having witnessed several amazing events, stumble and lose faith when admittedly they faced danger when the squall came down on the lake and the storm brewed. They lost their confidence, their faith in what they had been led to believe, that all things are possible because Jesus is Lord. We are told that walking with the Lord can be a struggle. Total submission can be proved difficult when the rest of the world is full of sin, corruption, and distrust. Be vigilant, stay aware, and discern at all that you encounter. Be like the women, despite all the obstacles. Hold fast to what you believe. Amen.